Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Right, cool. Kushti, I think I'm on. Yeah, it's recording. Mint.
Double check.
Yeah.
Hang on. Rock and roll.
Have you finished your Kinder, Jackie?
The Kinder Egg? That was, no, it was Cadbury's Caramel.
Hello and welcome back to the Sofa Cinema Club. I'm Colton Smith and I'm joined by...
Jack P. Shepherd.
Ben Price.
See, I remembered to do it this week. The Sofa Cinema Club is our podcast where we get together and we educate each other on films. The films we should have seen, but we haven't. Each week, we would normally get together and watch a film together and then sit in the studio together.
Are we together? Are we together? But we're not together.
And talk about what we liked. Together, together, forever. However, we're not together. So we're watching the films on our own. We're coming into the studio virtually in our own homes and then we're recording the podcast. This week's episode is all about the greatest film of all time. In fact, I forgot how good it was until last night, The Greatest Showman. But before we start talking about that, it's been 7 weeks, I think, now. Seven weeks.
Jack Shepherd's beard has gone completely ballistic. Full desert island.
Well, I don't have any shavers. I always just shave when I'm at work.
Shears? Are you shaver?
No, shavers. I don't have
what
any
colour
shavers.
Is that beard? What colour would you say that is?
It's
slightly
brown.
Changer.
No. No, it's brown.
Slightly strawberry blonde.
Definitely not.
We've only got one ginger in the group now, and it's Jack.
You've got a bit of a beard going on as well, Colt.
Yeah.
Just the bottom bit. The fryer, not the top tash.
It's just you can't really see because of the lighting. But just to clarify, talking about hair, we put a hair chat on our Instagram to prove that we talk about more than just films. Am I a blonde?
No, you're ginger.
Are you sure?
Yeah, mate.
What's so funny about your hair is you've got the kind of blonde Mohican with the Jean-Gere sides.
Yeah,
it's like a complete multicoloured sort of David Bowie.
I'm struggling to get the sides blonde.
What have you put in the middle? That shampoo? But you don't put it on the whole of your head?
This podcast is brought to you by John Frieda, Go Blonde the Shampoo.
If you're listening, John, it's great on top, not so good on the sides.
But I'm not sure it's doing on the side. I feel like it's almost getting to a stage where I might shave the sides and then I would look
do that. That'll look really good.
I agree with Jack. I think that
I don't know
fantastic.
About Jack's sarcasm, but I do think that is what I'm
he's
gonna
got
do.
A huge gonna... beard. He's on a different trip. He's thinking about a whole different hair game there. Who's gonna do the shaving, Coulson? Because obviously can't go to the hairdresser.
I'm thinking Dad. I mentioned it to him the other day. Would you be able to do it? And he was like, yeah, I cut the dog's hair all the time. And I was like, well, slightly different. But
he's going to put your head between his legs and just shear you.
I don't know who I would trust more out of my mum and my dad. It's getting to the time, I think, where
I've got to cut my son's hair with some clippers. He started telling me what he wanted.
A fade.
No, but like literally, sort of slightly, sort of, quite short the sides, Dad, but then coming up into there. Then in the front, I'd like to keep the length. I went, no, son, no, it's not hairdressers. Not hairdressers, son. You're going to get one go at this. It's going to be shaved off. Number one, all over. That's probably what we're going to go for. If we're going to start at a four, I'm going to mess it up so badly, you're going to end up with a four-shaped
head. You're
going
to go bald. Hold your ears, son.
Anything else? Jack, what have you been up to?
Has the Taj Mahal arrived, Jack? You've gone quiet.
No. Do you know what happened? Did I tell you? So
no.
I ordered it from Lego, and they went, yeah, super duper, thanks for your order, Jack. Unfortunately,
are they
we're
Danish,
out of stock.
Lego?
I don't know. I'm just saying.
I think they're Danish, but I like it. Yeah, they're out of stock.
Out of stock. And so we'll let you know when we get some more back in, but we'll take
But thanks
money.
For the money. Yeah.
And they haven't given me the money back.
No. So I don't know what I'm going to do. And you can't cancel it or something until it's shipped or something. I don't know.
What have you been up to, Ben? Anything much?
Homeschooling still.
Oh, I did a bit of that the other day.
What lessons did you do, Jack?
Yeah, so we did with Ruben. He had to draw. What are those fly catchers? Those plants.
Cactus. Venus, that's what Ruben drew.
Not cactus.
Venus fly trap.
He had to draw one of them. And
he drew a cactus.
No, he's six.
Were you there, Coulson?
I think I sent him a picture of it. I think.
Like
it.
I tell you what, the art teacher's a bit harsh here. Yeah. It was a cactus, wasn't Venus fly trap.
And then he had to draw a fly being eaten by it, and then he had to describe what was happening in the picture. So he said, "What did he come up with?" He said something like, "Fly buzzes round fly trap, then smack bang wallop." Fly nil, plant one.
Very, very good.
Yeah. Arguably, still a better film than Kramer versus Kramer. That sounds better to me.
You had to bring it down. You had to tread on a poor young child's dreams there, Coulson. Flytrap's very good poem. Well done. Tell Ruben, well done.
Yeah, 10 out of 10. How many gold stars? How many gold stars?
One house point.
I give him a tick. Marked it. And then Nyla had to do some long and short division, but I'll let Hanny do that.
Too much.
I'll stick to drawing plants and flies.
We had to do some maths today. I said, do you know what we're going to do here? I've got an idea. Let's get the answer and try and work out something to get to that answer. Yeah, very good. So we just made it fit the answer, and then I went, that's it, that's essentially math. You're never going to have to use angles ever again. I never walk around a supermarket and go, I wonder if that's an obtuse angle. I need to know that. I don't need to fucking know that shit at all.
Are they doing Pythagoras theorem, Ben?
Oh, crikey, cool. Since he's gone, yeah, they're doing all that.
That I still have nightmares about Pythagoras theorem.
It's proper on. I have to get my father's super maths, so I have to get him on the old FaceTime, and we have to give it the full old sit down.
That's what parents
change.
Well, that's what parents are all discovering now, aren't they? That their kids are actually realising how thick their mum and dad actually is.
Well, no, what you do realise is that you just don't use it.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure you would if you were a quantity surveyor or an engineer or something like. I'm sure you would, but day to day, I don't walk in and go, "Oh, I wonder if Nick Tilsey's working out a circumference of a circle." No, he's not. I've just got to learn some lines, actually.
You know, when you were at school and, like, you were doing maths and stuff, did you know then that you wanted to be an actor or whatever?
Yeah.
Because, obviously, Jack might have been the same, but I was obviously doing my exams having had a job for 3 years.
Yeah.
So I'm sat there listening to Pythagoras Theorem thinking, when am I going to need this? Like,
but don't you think that's... I don't know. I found that with all of it. Algebra a bit and all that.
What is the point?
Where are we going with this?
Oh, no. I suppose it's just if, I don't know, the electric
if you have to work
down,
out how long you've been on... how long you've been on the desert island for, you'd have to look at the sun and work your way out.
And the next question for homeschooling is, what has been the length of growth in Jack's beard in the past 7 weeks?
It's not that long. Yeah.
Right, let's talk about the film, The Greatest Showman. So, a synopsis of The Greatest Showman. The Greatest Showman is a film from, I think, 2017, where Hugh Jackman plays the character of P.T. Barnum. And the film is all about showing how people's differences make them beautiful. And what P.T. Barnum does in this film is he gets a group of obscure people, a group of different people, and puts them together and showcases what's brilliant about themselves. And the story is of the first circus. I'm not sure.
You're skirting around that, aren't you?
No, because I kind of disagree.
Group of people, different people. Yeah, I mean, they were called freaks, weren't they?
He gets a group of freaks and he puts them on stage and he makes a show out of them and it's a circus. And in effect, that's the film. But there's a hell of a lot more to it, isn't there?
No. No, there's not really.
Do you know what? I forgot. You know, because you text yesterday and you were like, do we really fucking have to watch this film? And I was like, oh, like, I was almost on your page. Jack watched it midday. Jack had the 11 a.m. greatest show.
It's only an hour and 40. I thought it was much longer. It was an hour and 40. We're in and out.
I completely forgot. It's a film.
I think it's because it was rammed down our throats, wasn't it, that film, when it came out? I mean, it was everywhere. It was on the radio, there were adverts, there was things on YouTube, and every kid was singing it. Every kid was dressing up like Hugh Jackman, do you know what I mean? It was just overkill. It was just loads, so that's why.
It was for a long time as well, because I watched it on Boxing Day, because that's when it came out. I watched it on Boxing Day, and I don't think it stopped in cinemas until summer.
Yeah.
So it had a ridiculously long run, because people found out about it at different stages. So I do think that must have been the first time I've watched it in 6 months.
How many times did you go to the cinema to watch it?
I think it was six.
Jesus.
I think it was six.
But, bloody hell.
I mean, after last night, I remember why. But instantly, you can't deny it. You must have been.
Do you know what? Fair play. When the songs come on, those two guys who have wrote all them songs, they are catchy. Yes. You do start moving your feet. You do start singing along.
They're big songwriters, those two, though, aren't they?
They did La La Land, didn't they?
Yeah, they've done
Dear Evan Hansen as well, haven't they? But it's not just the songs as well, because it works. Everything about that film. There's a reason that it was such a success.
Mm.
Like, for me, I did get obsessed with it. I'll admit that when it came out. And Jack was living with me at the time. And
did you dress up as like a tiger or something?
It was just on the speaker. We had that.
This is the greatest.
Yeah. Oh.
If you ever read the paper. If you ever read the paper, there may have even been a story about how we had a noise complaint from playing The Greatest Showman at 3 a.m. in the morning. It just was brilliant. And the songs, just again and again, I must have listened to them so many times. I listen to them now when I run. When I run, I have two different playlists, and one of them is musicals. And getting up a hill to This Is Me, I'm like Mo Farah. You won't believe it. Ben, you don't seem convinced, but I know that even you don't dislike this film, so let's have it. Let's hear a bit of.
I watched it with the kids.
Did you?
I watched it with the kids. So I sat down with the kids. I needed friends with me. I couldn't go in there on my own.
Mm-hmm. Not just you and the dog.
Me and the dog. Kids, no dog. Dog walked out at the start. As soon as dog went, I'm fucking off here. Daughter loved it. We saw it at the cinema, actually. Songs catchy. I don't know. It didn't grab me, if I'm honest.
Oh.
It's like, the songs are great, but the story just feels like...
I think he's a bit of a dick, Hugh Jackman, in it.
But
that's the idea.
P.T. Barnum in real life was accused of exploitation. So it was it was worse than it was in the film. He just wanted to make a lot of money. So he exploited people. So the actual story, and he didn't start the circus till he was 60.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but all that stuff with paying that girl to sing, Lind, was true. He paid her $1,000 for 150 shows, and he did go bankrupt. I suppose it was that for me. I think the other actors were kind of underused. I really like Michelle Williams. I think she's a great actress. I really like her.
She plays Charity.
Yeah, but she was underused, I felt. I thought, Jackman's fine, but... He's really good at that stuff. He is very, very good at it. Very good voice. Zac Efron the same. Just not enough in there. I mean, it's choreographed. It's the director's first film.
Michael...
How did he get that?
Michael Lacey. So he met... That's what... Oh, Gracie. Can you imagine, Michael Lacey? He did an advert with Hugh Jackman in Japan. The guys who wrote the music or had the idea went to Hugh Jackman in 2009. So yeah. It took nearly 10 years to get it made. And they met this guy and he stayed with it for 7 years, this first-time director.
It was after... Hugh Jackman had hosted the Oscars, and at the Oscars after party, someone had basically said, you're obviously really good in film and you're really good on Broadway. Have you ever thought about combining the two together? Mm-hmm. And he was like, hmm. And then they gave him this concept for the film, but the film never had any music in. So after Hugh Jackman did this advert and he was talking to the director, Michael, about it, he said, like, yeah, let's give it a go. But if we're going to make a film of The Greatest Showman, let's make it a show. Like, let's put music in it. So they tried really hard with the music. And I think this is rumoured and it's never been confirmed, but Mika, you know Mika? I can be blue.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't know Mika, you do after that. Mika, they tried to get him to write it and it didn't work. And then they got the two lads. I don't know if they're brothers or not, the two lads who did La La Land and Dear Evan Hansen. And they wrote the music, and as soon as they got that, it all kind of came together. But Jack touched on earlier about how Greatest Showman Fever, in a way, didn't really leave us after the film came out. And do you remember all the videos on YouTube and stuff about how the film got greenlit?
Yes. You talk about that, Cole. Score.
There's an amazing video, and it truly is. Like, I think even if you don't like the film, you can appreciate. So Hugh Jackman and the director, they're in New York for this greenlit meeting where... all the producers, all the bigwigs from Fox were going to be there. And it was the first time they'd ever heard the script read through and the song sung by the characters. So there were 70 bigwigs there. And Hugh Jackman had had a skin cancer cut out of his nose the day before. And the doctor had said to him, whatever you do, you cannot sing. So Hugh had to ring the director, Michael, up, and he was like, look, I can't sing tomorrow. So, you know, they were worried that this could be the plug pulled on the film. And... if you've watched the film, which you should have, you'll know that the last like song, the big finale, is From Now On, which is where Hugh Jackman's character realises all of his mistakes and tries to, you know, correct them. So they start singing this song in the like greenlit read-through, and it's another lad singing it, and Hugh Jackman's just stood there. And you, if you watch it on YouTube, you can kind of see it winding Hugh up that he can't sing, and he starts to sing. And then he only wanted to sing the first two lines and he ends up singing the whole song. And in the end, all the cast, all the choreographers have stood on the table.
Even like the producers sort of like stand up, don't they? And they're all going mental.
And you watch that and at the end of it, Hugh Jackman just gives it like this fist and you can kind of see in it that
dies
is the way to get
his doctor told him not to sing.
Do you know what? He did. He had to go back the next day and he had 80 stitches took out because he started bleeding mid-song.
Oh.
Ooh.
Dedication.
But he said,
this is the greatest show. My nose has fallen off.
You know what Jack said about Hugh Jackman's character obviously not being a very nice man?
Mm.
Now, he's not. The character isn't, but Hugh Jackman is.
Yeah.
And that kind of comes across in the film because all the likeable aspects, I think, are the Hugh Jackman aspects.
Yeah.
Whereas if you take the if you take Hugh Jackman out of the character, he is not. Very nice.
Yeah.
Hugh Jackman, by the way, is an absolute legend. One of our friends, Mo Lipman, worked with him for quite a long time in Oklahoma.
Yep.
And she spoke to him quite a lot about this film and the stories that she's told me about this. And I went with her to see The Greatest Showman on tour where Hugh Jackman did the songs at Manchester Arena. And Hugh Jackman is a legend. He's
he gave a big shout out to her, didn't he?
Yeah. We were sat in the audience, so Mo had invited me to go and like meet him backstage, and I was too scared. I was like, I can't do it. But we were sat down, and he said in one of his Oklahoma songs, he went, I just want to say a massive thank you to someone who taught me so much, Mo Lipman. At watch point, Maureen stands on a chair, puts her arms in the air. I'm there going, oh, God. And it was just amazing. But Maureen says he is just the nicest guy ever. Because he didn't start acting until late in his career.
Mm-hmm.
And I think his first big job was Oklahoma, which he did with her. So he is a massive part of the film. But I think it's important to say, Ben says the other cast were good. And
I really liked Zac Efron in it.
He's
I thought he did a brilliant job.
Yep. he is brilliant. Like, I am so fond of Zac Efron anyway, because he, in effect, is my childhood. Like, High School Musical is a thing that I have tried not to come onto on this podcast so many times, because I have said to you, if we come onto it, it's the next 3 episodes, because we have to watch all 3.
No, we don't. That's not in the rules.
The rules are we have to watch all... We didn't have to watch all Die Hard, not all 5. All Aliens. All so, We Bought a Zoos.
Papadopoulos and Son 2's great, by the way. Zac Efron's character. Jack, what is it about that character and about Zac Efron that is...
Well, he's sort of... He's born into money, isn't he? And he's got a wealthy mum and dad. And he fancies that the trapeze artist, don't you? But...
Anne.
They don't want him going out with her because she's not into money and she's poor and stuff like that. I just think he's I think he's a triple threat, isn't it, Zac Efron? He can act, he can sing, he can dance. He's just, he can do it all. He's very good, isn't it?
Ben, we're going to have to, dampen my high. You said it didn't work for you. Hold on.
I didn't say that, did I? So the music works.
I think you did.
He said it didn't grab him.
It didn't grab me. It doesn't work. Clearly works. Loads of people have seen it. It's not my... I could see where it was going. It was all too nice at the start. Okay.
What was it?
It just felt too schmaltzy for me. There wasn't enough... It's very good. It's a very good watch. But if you're asking me to think about it critically, would I watch it again? No. But the songs are great. The kids loved the songs. I could see why you liked it. It's got a happy ending. It's got a bit of a sad. It's not quite sad. It burns down, but no animals die. Or do they all die? They seem to come back, don't they, the animals?
You just want the animals to die.
Just dead. Just loads of carcasses everywhere. This was the greatest show. They're all just dead. Don't worry about that. You knew what I was going to think of that film, Coulson. You knew what I was going to think of it. It means something different to you. You get into those, and that's great. I think that's great, and I think that's why it's so successful, those kind of films.
Him on the elephant at the end, it's a bit shit. What is he doing?
Do you know what he is?
When he's on the elephant at the end, he rides the elephant to the bloody theatre.
I said when I went through the phase...
Who are you, Aladdin? Prince Ali.
That's my sense to me. Is that a real elephant? I said, if it is, he's wasted in this film. He's amazing. He can grab a hat.
I said, when I went through the phase of watching it all the time, the only thing that ruins it is the CGI'd elephants. Because I remember watching it when the circus was burning down in the cinema. I'm pretty much sat there in floods of tears. And then you just see the arse of this CGI elephant going...
Aah! And the CGI Tom Thumb, that's annoying as well.
Is that CGI?
His legs. That actor is actually 4 foot in real life, which is not that small. So
just a little bit taller than you, isn't it, Jeff?
Well, the actual Tom Thumb, he was just 100 centimeters. So
he's torso.
He does all the scenes on his knees. He kneels down, and then they just CGI feet and stuff on. That's why he sort of walks weird. You know?
Yes. Yes,
and it's not his voice. They dubbed him as well.
Oh yeah, you can see that. You can tell that. Yeah, there was. I mean, look. The songs are amazing. The songs are fantastic. Yeah. They've written some absolute bangers. Yeah. It was just for me. Yeah, I kind of knew even when it started with that fucking thing with the curtains and that lamp that gave them all the shapes. I was like, here we fucking are. I've got nothing. I've lost my job, but I've got a lamp that makes shapes. I'd be like, you come straight in and gone, I fucking lost my job. We're fucked. But he wasn't, no, I've got a magic lamp. Put the sheets up. And they start singing. Oh, I was like, but that, I mean, what would it be? What's interesting is that that's his life. That was P.T. Barnum's life. He obviously, that happened to him. And he's famous. I mean, he is famous.
Did he perform in the circus, though?
I don't think
like
he did,
what Hugh Jackman did?
I don't think he did. I don't think he did. I think
he did
he just
wear a top
everyone
hat.
Together.
Did he?
I've seen a picture of him in a top hat. I don't know if that was just
I'll tell you what, well, he doesn't look like Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, he's a bit bigger than... He doesn't look like Wolverine, put it that way.
Right, rating. I'm going...
Hold on.
What?
Hold on, Tom Hanks.
It's Coulson.
He's been on that island too long. It's Coulson's film. He's giving it, obviously, 54 out of 10.
It's obviously 10. Like, it obviously is. I don't think you can argue that. And I think it is, you know, like Jack said, it is Greatest Showman fever in a way. That is a thing about it. It sticks with you. The songs are brilliant. How it didn't win Best Song at the Oscars.
Yeah, that is weird. What did win?
Coco.
Who's Coco?
It's Coco isn't a bad film. Coco's not a bad film.
I've not seen that.
No, the songs are very good. And he does it very well. Old Hugh bangs out a tune very well. So it's 10 from Coulson. Jack? This is going to be a walk-off from Coulson.
No, it's not. No, Jack can't. He's got to go high. He loves the film.
He just loves the film. I don't think he just actually said he loved it.
I don't love it. I mean,
film.
It's the songs that I like that are in it. The songs are good.
I've got videos of you dancing to this, so just
Because I'm with my son, and he's sort of dancing. He dressed up as Hugh Jackman all the time.
Who did?
Ruben. He absolutely loved it. I've got videos of him dancing. He had his cane and his hat.
I just think Ruben's going to listen to your ratings. Just bear that in mind in the back of your head.
I'm going 7.
What?
That's fine.
It's at least an 8.
I think that's a steady 7. I don't think you can argue with that. Can you?
Yeah, but we won't. Ben?
Oh, it's got nasty.
No, it's not nasty.
Immediately nasty, which is what's so extraordinary. You build it up, you build yourself up, you go, it's clearly a 10 for me. It's called The Great... You've almost renamed it The Greatest Film Ever, Showman. And it's a 10 from me. Jack, if it hadn't been a 10 from Jack, you're throwing your toys out the pram. Jack goes 7. I go 6.
6.
Ooh. To be fair, the person that I'm disappointed with is Jack.
Why?
I feel like you probably like that film more than you realise.
Yeah, but is it an 8 in Jack's words?
But to be honest, for Jack? The bits that are only really of any interest is when there's a song. And all the other stuff in between, I was sort of like... Not fast-forwarding, but really just hoping it sped up and just gone to a song. Now, I wasn't fast-forwarding.
I have to agree with Jack.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, I'll just get to the next song.
The songs are mint. That one where she's singing on her own, I love that one.
Michelle
Williams.
Never
enough.
Oh, yeah, that one, Never Enough. Oh, I love that one.
I'm just looking at her mouth and it's dubbed.
Yeah, it's not her.
Yes, you can tell she's not the singer. But I do like that.
The film arguably probably doesn't need that story strand. Like, that's the one thing that you could probably just go snip.
Yeah, but then it would be like an hour long. But that is what crippled him. That is how he lost his money.
Because he wanted approval. You know, the film is kind of a battle for approval. And it all kind of comes from Charity's dad in a way. Because he's always been the tailor's boy. And he just wants that approval.
I think in actual real life, he wanted money. And he thought he could make a lot of money out of it.
So how much is that?
23
out of 30 for Greatest Showman. Come on.
This is the greatest show.
Actually, Hugh, it's not. It's 23.
23, Hugh.
I just...
Oh, God, Ben!
Do you know what we haven't done?
We haven't thought of a film.
We don't even know what film we're going to do.
I just knew the next bit is when we say what are we watching next, and we haven't had a conversation.
Good luck.
What are we going to do?
I'll pick. This week we're watching High School Musical.
What are we going to do?
Oh, shit. Where's your phone? Are you on your phone?
I've got my phone, yeah.
Do you want me to just take my headphones off?
You ring me.
Just take your headphones off, Coulson. Have you got it on loudspeaker?
I won't listen.
Oh, right.
How do you know I was talking then?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass!" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Coles, thank you for coming back in the room. Me and Ben...
Well, you're welcome. I don't know why.
Me and Ben have had a chat, and the film that we're picking for next week is Jaws, the Shark.
Yeah, I think I've seen it.
Have you?
Yeah. I've ridden the ride as well. So I've basically seen
You've ridden the ride.
Yeah, in Florida.
It's old, isn't it? I have seen it. It's old. Like, almost sketchy picture old.
Is it sketchy picture old? What, like 1904? Sketchy picture?
I do feel like I've seen it. I think it is something I've seen with my dad. And I have ridden the ride.
Okay. Right. Well, that's okay, what great. We're watching.
So, make sure you watch along at home too. Let us know what you think about The Greatest Showman. If you're excited for watching Jaws, let us know. Our social medias are at Sofa Cinema Club on Twitter and Instagram. Until then, have a nice week. Enjoy Jaws, and we'll see you next week. Good night, God bless.
Good night, God bless.
Good night, God bless.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.